This is the world's greatest Springsteen podcast for April 20. That's 4/20/2024. I am Fisherman, the bootlegger who pays the highest price. With me, as always, is Tom. Tom, you are looking awesome today.
Thank you, sir. You are looking great.
It is 4/20. That's a special day to people like me who partake in the green herb. Tom was telling me before the show he drove by the Hard Rock in Florida and they were celebrating.
Yeah, it was just lit up in green.
Lit up in green. The country, not the federal government, but the country has embraced marijuana in the first. Boy, we're almost at the end of the first quarter of the 21st century. I can't even believe it. And weed is legal. And I can't believe, well, at least it is here in Vegas, not in Florida. But it's the weed day. It's my St. Patrick's Day. It's my Cinco de Mayo. It's my all those drinking holidays that a guy like me who never drinks doesn't partake in. We got one day, and I treat this day like every other day by smoking a shitload of weed. All right. So this is the world's greatest Springsteen podcast, and we want to get right to this week in Springsteen. There has been two shows since last we met, and the first show, I want to bring it up here on my screen for you. I believe the first show to talk about is Albany, and that was 5 days ago. We always record on Saturday morning. And Albany was April 15th, tax day. He didn't go for the easy come out of the gate with the Beatles tax man. I think most bands that played that night somewhere came out and played their cover of tax man. But Bruce started up with Candy's Room. So look at this soundtrack. You had Adam Raise the Cane, Downbound Train, Light of Day, Candy's Room. And then Candy's Room, which for the whole first year was the lead in to Kitty's Back in the heart of the show. Candy's Room opens this show after being absent for quite some time. And then tour premiere Adam Raise the Cane. I haven't heard that yet. I'm looking forward to it. I got the audio last night. Really looking forward to hearing Adam Raise the Cane. Did you hear that yet?
No, well, I think I did. But I don't have the good audio.
I got the good audio last night. I got some people sending me videos. Albany, we're going to have a good copy video of this show right here. So then Lonesome Day, Ghost, Letter to You, Promised Land, and then boom, Atlantic City. Atlantic City's in there. And Trapped, Spirit in the Night. So Spirit in the Night looks like it's every night now. And Hungry Heart also looks like it's every night now. But man, Atlantic City, Trapped, Spirit in the Night, looking really good. So then Night Shift, your favorite. Night Shift is like kind of stuck in there. Hungry Heart, Night Shift, Racing in the Street. I got to see this one in Vegas, and it's not becoming a regular, but it's getting a little bit more play than it certainly did. I think it was only played once on the whole 2023 tour. Last Man Standing, Backstreets, that is absolutely here to stay. Because of the Night, and then it's always been Because of the Night, She's the One, like almost always until very recently. But in between Because of the Night, She's the One, you have Downbound Train. And She's the One, Wrecking Ball, The Rising, Badlands, Thunder Road, and then There's the Light of Day from the soundtrack. Born to Run, Bobby Jean, In for Glory Days, They Must Have Wanted to Go Home. I'll stop doing that joke. Dancing in the Dark, 10th Avenue, Freeze Out, Twist and Shout is in the is in between 10th Avenue, Freeze Out, and I'll See You in My Dreams. And it wasn't on the written set list. Glory Days was in. Bobby Jean was out. And it went 10th Avenue right in I'll See You in My Dreams. Twist and Shout was an audible. But I think he ended up playing it both nights, because then 3 nights later, he was in Syracuse, and this was just a couple days ago, 2 nights ago, And once again, Twist and Shout. Oh, in between 10th Avenue and I'll See You in My Dreams, two songs that night, which is unprecedented, I believe. Twist and Shout, yeah, and Detroit Medley. So real quick, we'll run through Syracuse, and then we'll talk about these things. Darlington County, soundcheck, and it made it into the show. So Lonesome Day opener, night, No Surrender, Two Hearts, Darlington County, and then Growing Up tour premiere. I've seen pictures. That was a gigantic sign request, catering to the people, catering to the worst people. People who would dare bring a giant sign. You know, GW sent me another picture. He's going to Columbus tomorrow night, and he sent me another picture of another bed sheet. This time, it's got like a paragraph on it. It's like got like six songs listed, and it's like, have Steve circle one or something like that. I don't know, but he's disappointing me being the guy with the gigantic sign. So after Growing Up with the sign request, we had Ghosts, Promised Land. There's no Letter to You here, is there? He dropped Letter to You. Did you notice that?
You know, I didn't notice that. That's disappointing.
And growing up in, and then Letter to You out. Ghosts, Promised Land, Spirit of the Night, Hungry Heart, Atlantic City. Kind of wasn't in Atlantic City before Spirit. You know, he's doing the same songs but mixing them around. My City of Ruins. So there's your double band intros. Night Shift, Last Man Standing, Backstreets, Because the Night, She's the One, Back Together, Wrecking Ball, The Rising, Badlands, Thunder Road, Born to Run, Glory Days, Dancing in the Dark, 10th Avenue Freeze Out, the Twist and Shout Detroit Medley, the double in between Twist and Shout and Detroit Medley, and I'll See You in My Dreams. And, you know, he needed a double in there because he was only at 28 songs with the two songs in between 10th Avenue and I'll See You in My Dreams. And I'd say this is probably the most standard set list we've seen of the second year of the 2024 run.
Yeah, this wasn't a good sign that this last show in Syracuse, it opens with Lonesome Day, Night, No Surrender, which is the standard set list. So he's gone from these rare songs or tour premieres, which usually, and then following right into, you know, No Surrender. But now, but this might not mean anything. But also, Rosalita was dropped on both of these shows.
No Rosie, no Letter to You. Oh, Rosie was dropped from both shows. That's interesting.
Yeah.
And then all the mix em ups that were happening in the back in the final eight songs before the encore. They're back to the final eight songs before the encore. Last Man Standing, Backstreets, Because the Night, She's the One, Wrecking Ball, Rising, Badlands, Thunder Road. He started sticking songs in there. All eight are played every night, but he started sticking songs in there and breaking them up. But not this time. That's right back to the standard order. He could have picked up an old set list out of an old guitar case.
But some really good rare songs were played. So besides the two tour premieres, Growing Up, Adam Raised a Cane, we got Downbound Train, which is fantastic. You know, that's very rare.
Right. Yeah, Albany got some treats. There's no doubt that Albany got treats and Syracuse got Growing Up.
Yeah.
And Detroit Medley.
Light of Day, that's been played a few times, but that's still very rare.
And still Candy's, Albany. Albany Candy's, is the show.
I guess it's a big deal that he opened with Candy's Room, even though he's played that a lot. He's never really opened with that, I don't think.
No, he played. It was the segue into Kitty's Back for the entire 80% of the first year. It would go Candy's Room into Kitty's Back, and then he dropped Candy's Room and he kept Kitty's Back for a while too.
Yeah. And playing both Twist and Shout and Detroit Medley, which he says were a sign request, but that doesn't make that's pathetic. We've talked about people putting up signs that of songs that he does practically all the time, and they're not even his songs. yet somebody would have a sign, and it's just like
you mean like Jolie, you know, like Jolie Blonde, a sign that's not a song that's not even his song.
Yeah, I mean that was a premiere though, and now that's a classic cover of his. I mean, although these are too.
Yeah, I don't know who would request Detroit Medley either. I don't know why people bring signs. I think it's really bad. You know, I was thinking the other day, people think the more signs they see, the more they think it's okay. But there are like 2,000 people in the pit, and there are like 80 or 120 signs. That means you're talking about 8% of the people, 7% of the people. It's a very small amount of people. So where they feel empowered by the other signs that they think it's okay, why isn't it everybody? Why is it only, why do 93%, everybody has a song they want to hear. Why do only 93% not bring a sign? Because it's bad behavior. Because we don't make the set list. Because it's not, we're not supposed to be communicating with the band with a giant sign that fucks everybody behind us. Because people who do that, they're arrogant, narcissistic. They think they're special, they're self-important. Whether they're begging for a song or begging for a harmonica. There was a harmonica at each show given away. And I was like, as soon as I heard he gave away a harmonica, your first thought is, oh, that's cool. He gave away a harmonica. Everybody wants a harmonica. And I was like, oh, did they beg for it with a sign? And sure as shit, both of them. Now you don't get one unless you have a sign. So, you know, I mean, I swear I wish Bruce would like start handing out harmonicas to anybody but the one with the sign. And then people might stop bringing the sign. Yeah. He buys cases of harmonica, and I would love a harmonica. I don't want to belittle the actual getting of the harmonica, but he buys cases of harmonica. He touches it for, maybe you get one he played Promised Land on, or maybe you get one he just pulled out of his, that he put in his pocket before, and then he takes out and then he gives to you. So it's a harmonica from Bruce. I have a video that I made of Pearl Jam where, you know, I know Eddie Vedder's kind of famous for giving out tambourines. And on this show, and I don't know if he does this a lot, I've seen other videos where he just gave out one or two tambourines, but on this show, he's like standing like halfway between the drums and the audience, and there's a guy backstage throwing him a tambourine, and he's catching it, and he's throwing it to the crowd. And they did like 100. He's like, psh, 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 psh. And it's like, you know, that I can't lower the sentimental value for the person who catches it, I guess, but... You know, when he's just slinging, like he's just slinging tambourines like Trump throwing paper towel, it's like not really as special as someone who, you know, gets that harmonica where Bruce gives him a harmonica. Like, I want you, you're out here, you're cheering, you're a kid, whatever, you're a beautiful girl, whatever. I want you to have my harmonica. That was a cool moment. Begging for it with the sign, me, drives me crazy. Blocking people's view with signs, that's, and they don't care. They think they're so entitled to block anyone's view with a sign. And the more people that do it, the more entitled they feel about it, and the more signs there are. But it's still a tiny percentage. They don't even see that. That 93% of people would never behave like you. Not you, Tom. I'm talking to the people with signs. But you know what I'm, you understand what I'm saying, I hope.
Yeah.
All right. So also this week, before each one of those shows, the social media team did release a couple of videos. I believe for Albany, he mentioned that the one thing he knew about Albany was it was the capital of the state of New York.
Albany! In Bruce Springsteen on the Jersey Parkway. And there's two things I know about you. One, Albany is the capital of New York State. That's right. And two, the E Street Band is coming to destroy your city. Those are two things I know about Albany. It's going to happen in the next few days. So get ready for it.
And then there was also one for Syracuse with Gary.
Yeah, he did a little one with Gary, and they just mentioned that they hadn't been to Syracuse since 1973. And Gary says that he remembers that show because the announcer announces Bruce as Bruce Springsteen. And Bruce said, yeah, I remember that. That was about it. And also, it was revealed that Pam Springsteen's sister, is the one that has been doing these little videos, because she is a professional photographer. And so she's been in charge of this.
I think Bruce also added, he said Bruce Springsteen is coming back to Syracuse. He brought it back like any great comic. He brought back Gary's story. He said, well, Bruce Springsteen is coming back. And then I guarantee you, he said, we're going to rock you into the ground, because that seems to be the tagline.
Syracuse. First time I came to Syracuse was 1973. And you were looking at the only two members of the E Street Band that were there 51 fucking years ago. It said, welcome Bruce Springsteen. That's right, it was welcome Bruce Springsteen. Bruce Springsteen's coming back 50 years later. And guess what? Me, this gentleman, Gary W. Talent, and the rest of the E Street Band have plans to destroy your city and rock you into the ground. Ouch! We warned you.
You know, back in the day, you would do promos for all the different markets, and you could say the same thing because people would only see the one in their market. So you could say, we're coming, Syracuse, we're coming to your town, and we're going to rock you into the ground. And then you could go, Albany, we're coming to your town, and we can rock you into the ground. And you could do 100 of them, and nobody would see anything but the one that went to their own market. But we don't live in that world anymore. We now live in a world where everybody sees it and it gets launched on social media to everybody. And suddenly it looks like he's just saying the same thing over and over again, because he is coming to your town and he is going to rock you into the ground. The one cool thing about Bruce is he says it different every single time.
Yeah, I don't see the point of this. I mean, the tickets have already been sold, so I don't know.
It's promotional. It's fun. He's attacking social media.
Okay.
All right. So I've been busy this weekend because my namesake band, Phish, is here in Las Vegas. They're the second band ever to play the Sphere. And I went Thursday night and did not get in. This is the hardest ticket in Vegas since the Super Bowl. You two did 40 shows. Some of the shows were hard to get into and other ones were easy, and it was the same show every night. And I eventually found a reasonable price ticket and I got to go see you two. But there's no getting into Phish. Tickets, you know how tickets kind of always go down close to showtime because people have extras and they're selling them on StubHub or what have you, and they got to get what they can before it's too late. Man, tickets went up and up and up and up. In the hours leading up to the show, they got higher and higher until there was only 5 tickets left on StubHub and they were $2,100 each. It is just insane. So I went Thursday and I stood in the drop line. I was about the 40th person in line, and people did get face value. And on the face value, the highest tier pricing on the whole place was under 200. They went from 115 to 194. And people got face value tickets in that drop line, but it was like 10 people and I was like 40th in line. So it didn't happen. I didn't get in. That was Thursday. Friday, I stayed home. I'm in so much pain. You know, I won't go to GA because I can't stand for 3 hours straight, but I stood for 4 hours straight in that fucking drop line for absolutely nothing. I got nothing. And I don't even think I'm going to go back at all and try again. It's just ridiculous. The prices are astronomical. There's 1,000 people down there without tickets, with their finger in the air, and no tickets to be had. And I guarantee you there's already people there in line. Once word got out that there were tickets at the box office, a few people got there super early yesterday, and they're getting there super early today to try to grab those if they happen again. I ain't getting involved. I'm watching it on the internet because one thing Fish does that Bruce does not do is webcast every single show. So I have seen both shows, and I'm going to be watching the next two shows, and they have just been awesome, and I just wanted to take those 5 minutes for a little World's Greatest Fish podcast information, and now I will return you to our regularly scheduled program and Tom's next three Tunnel of Love songs as we continue our deep dive into Tunnel of Love. Tom, what are the three songs from last week? Recap real quick.
Ain't Got You, Tougher Than the Rest, All That Heaven Will Allow.
All right. And now let's dive right into the next three songs on Tunnel of Love, your favorite, usually, sometimes, most of the time, your favorite Springsteen album, and certainly up there on my list.
Yeah. This fourth song is Spare Parts. It was released as a single, but not in the US. And it's about the consequences of evading commitment. In the song, a woman gets pregnant by her boyfriend and he promises to marry her, but then eventually he takes off. She has the baby anyway, but does consider killing it, just like another woman had done, which she had heard about or read about, this woman drowning her baby. But she decides against it. And instead, at the end of the song, she actually has the baby baptized. And there is a video, it's like concert footage, of this video.
I gotta go back and listen to the song. Isn't the woman you're talking about Moses' mother, and she didn't drown him, she just sent it down the river? Isn't that who she's comparing it to?
No, it
Are
was
you
actually,
sure? I'll have to check on that.
yeah.
Have you ever noticed that Springsteen never writes songs about kids who use proper birth control, go to college, and live happily ever after?
This song was sung on most nights on the Tunnel of Love tour, and he did it quite a bit on the Devils and Dust tour. It's probably not one of my favorites on the album, but I like it. It's my least favorite, as I said, would be the opening track. But Spare Parts, I don't think it went over as well as he would have hoped. It was one of those songs with a message, I suppose. Those are the songs he likes, but sometimes the audience prefers a song like Tunnel of Love or Brilliant Disguise.
Or
So, and
Cadillac Ranch.
Cadillac Ranch.
I know
I
that's
don't
not on Tunnel of
know.
Love, but
It's there.
I'm giving you an example of you can't trust the crowd.
She's, I don't know. Sometimes Bruce isn't the best. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but
No, I'm cutting out anything that you say Bruce isn't the best.
sometimes.
He's absolutely the best. I have no doubt about that.
Well, I mean, a man that sings Wrecking Ball every day doesn't
I
really.
love Wrecking Ball. Let me tell you something, Tom. Hard times come and hard times go. And hard times come and hard times go. And hard times come and hard times go just to come again.
Yeah, well, I will counter that with, a song like Night Shift that nobody wants to hear, and he shouldn't have even recorded because it was a pretty good Commodore song, but it wasn't anything that needed to be redone. And he could stick another song in there any time. But he continues down this path no matter what the audience thinks. So it's kind of he just does what he wants to do instead of what we want to hear. All right, so now
Once
to the
again,
next song.
the views of
That's a
Tom.
problem.
The views of Tom do not represent the world's greatest Springsteen podcast.
So then we got Cautious Man, one of my all-time favorites. And I don't think he sung it. I don't think he did it at all during the Tunnel of Love tour. He actually sung this song, though, 8 times during the Devils and Dust tour. And it's about a man that is always careful about every decision he makes. And he thinks and maybe overthinks everything before making a final decision. But he lets his cautiousness slip away, just like the line in the song, when he meets a girl and marries her. And he builds them a house, doing everything that, a man is supposed to do, that we're told a man is supposed to do. And all the while he considers betraying her, but he doesn't. It ends where the song ends where he's looking at her peacefully sleeping and brushes her hair out of her face, and he thanks God for what he has. And the message, I think, is that we don't realize how good we have it and how good we have something until it's gone. And that the man was smart to stay and work it out. And
so, a lot of dudes in Bruce songs watching their women sleep.
Yes. Yeah.
We might need a top list, top 5 times some dude is watching his woman sleep. Wreck on the highway.
It's the best time to escape. So.
Should I go now or should I stay? I can do one more day.
Yeah. All right. So the last song for today is Walk Like a Man. Another favorite.
And I know that one, right? Walk like a man, talk like a man, da-da-da-da, right?
Yes. That's the one, right? It's the Frankie Valli song.
Oh, right.
But this is not anything like that, except same name.
All right. And
like many songs, this mentions his father. It's really about his father being there for Bruce on his wedding day. And in the song, Bruce's father at some point touches his hand, and Bruce remembers it feeling rough on his hand. He's thinking back to when he was 5 years old and being at the beach and walking in his father's footprints. And it's about just him, Bruce, trying to be a man at this point, getting married. And he's thinking about his mom talking to him. About his mom taking him to weddings when he was little. She would do that a lot, take him and his sister to these weddings and funerals. But he's mentions the weddings, and but now he's all alone at the altar, and he's afraid because he's alone, and he can't count on his parents anymore. And he remembers his father's dreams being taken away from him, and he vows to try to be a man going forward and not allow those things to happen to him that happened to his father. So, really great song.
I think it's his most relevant song about his father, more so than Independence Day. I think Independence Day is more about him and his angst with his father, and Walk Like a Man is much more of a tribute to his father. It is a great song. One of my favorites on the record. And that is the first half. I don't know if they split it directly in half on the old vinyl, but that is the first half of Tunnel of Love. And we will be back next week with 3 more Tunnel of Love songs on the back half. And, we wanted to talk about at least one, if not a couple, of Tom's famous lists. I think he's got a couple of good ones. The first one is five songs, Bruce songs, that are based on books. And I'm curious about this because I just assumed they were all going to be based on John Steinbeck books, and he said there was only one. So is that your, that's Ghost of Tom Joad, correct?
I don't have that one.
How do you not have Ghost of Tom Joad?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm looking at the wrong list. Okay. I'm looking at the okay. That it is on here. You're okay, right.
Good. Thank God. That's the one. That's the big one. The other ones, the other ones, I don't even know if they're gonna be based on books. They're gonna have like a book mention or something like that. But I'm getting used to how your lists are formulated. So Tom's top five, they're not in any order, are they?
No.
Okay, good. Otherwise, we'd have to explain to people where Ghost of Tom Joad comes in. And Ghost of Tom Joad, as everybody knows, is based on John Steinbeck's Of Mice and Men, right?
Well, let me look at my notes. The Ghost of Tom Joad by John Steinbeck's. Is it John Steinbeck's?
No, it's John Steinbeck.
Yeah, I have Beck's here. It's the book is The Grapes of Wrath.
It's The Grapes of Wrath. It's not. I was trying to trick you. It's not Of Mice and Men. It is The Grapes of Wrath. Same author, John Steinbeck. All right. So other Bruce songs based on books. Ramble On.
Yeah, and of course that was a famous movie also that won plenty of awards.
What's that? Grapes of Wrath? The song is actually based, the song is more based on the movie. I think he read Steinbeck after he did that song. I think he based it on the movie. He's a big fan of the director. I can't remember who directed it. But he talks about that movie a lot. And the speech from the movie is not in the book. Wherever there's a man getting beat up by a cop or something like that, it's not, you know, he doesn't sing it the same way as it is in the movie, but that's from the movie, not from the book. So it's actually based on a movie. But all right, so what else you get? Give me the second one before I'll try to figure out another one.
Okay, we got Nebraska.
That's also based on a movie, kind of, isn't it? It's based on Badlands by Martin Sheen, which is a true story. There might have been a book, but I thought, again, you know, I know Bruce is a big reader, but he's based a lot of stuff on movies.
Yeah, this was a movie. This was, the book is called Starkweather, which of course is the name of the murderer, Charles Starkweather, who went on a murder spree with his girlfriend, underage girlfriend. And Starkweather is a book by Harry MacLean. And that is where Bruce based the song from, Nebraska. And of course,
and Badlands, the movie based on that book.
Yes. And then we got one of our favorites, I'll Stand By You Always.
Harry, inspired by Harry Potter.
Correct. Written for them, for Harry Potter, actually, and never
not
used.
Commissioned, though. Well, he wasn't commissioned to write a song. He was just like, I bet they want my song. He was inspired to write it, and then he offered it to Christopher Columbus, and who wanted it. But the crazy woman in England who wrote the books, she had it in her contract that she could oversee what music was in or something. I don't remember. But you know what? I like it better where it is in that Bruce Springsteen fan. Blinded by the Light. They ended up using it in Blinded by the Light, which is a Bruce movie commission. Bruce signed off on that movie.
And I actually sent that movie to my sister Sue, and she enjoyed it.
I'm glad she liked it. It's a little Bollywood, the dance numbers, the weird reproductions of Bruce songs, but it's a great story, and there's some great scenes in that movie. It's fun. Anyway, it's not perfect. It's definitely far from perfect. So where are we at? We're at Grapes of Wrath, Starkweather, And then what was the last one you said?
I'll stand by you always.
And I'll stand by you always. Okay, so there's two more. I had a guess. I said it earlier. What was the guess? Born on the 4th of July.
That's not on the list.
How is Born on the 4th of July not on your list?
Yeah, it just somehow didn't make the top five. Obviously, the other two coming up are more important.
All right, let's hear them.
We have Swallowed Up.
Based on the Bible?
No. You don't know what this is? You don't know what this is from?
I thought it was Swallowed Up in the Belly of the Whale. Was Jonah and the whale. You're going to say Moby Dick?
Correct.
See, I didn't. I thought it was based on Jonah and the whale, not Ahab and the whale.
That's not the information I've received.
Well, I could be wrong. I don't know. Never been one of my favorites. I'm a guy who likes every song. Not Swallowed Up. I can't get into that song at all.
I kind of like it. I don't know. It is, for those that don't know, it's a bonus song on the Wrecking Ball album. And
it's got no melody. There's no melody. It's not a.
It's just, it's kind of relaxed. I don't know. It's kind of like relaxing.
It's like an audio experience. So there's one more. Oh, I know what it is because it's going to be based on there's got to be one based on the Bible, right? Adam raised a Cain based on the Bible.
Not make it, I'm sorry.
Oh, what about Pink Cadillac?
That's not here either.
Based on the Bible. Something's got to be based on that. He's got 1,000. Jesus was an only son.
And just back to this real quick. Moby Dick was by Herman Melville. And the last song is Outlaw Pete.
That's not based on what book is that based on?
Yeah, I knew I'd get you. This is Bruce Springsteen's book itself. He wrote a book.
The book based came on from the song.
The book came first. It's a picture book.
The book didn't come first. The album came out with Outlaw Pete, and an artist guy drew the book. I don't even think he was commissioned to do it. He did it on his own and sent it to a publisher or to Springsteen or to somebody. They got it signed off on Springsteen and had his name installed as writer. And it's on the cover. It's got writer and illustrator, but the guy who came up with that book was really the illustrator based on the song. It's the lyrics directly from the song. If you read the book, it's just the lyrics from the song. He didn't write a poem or a book and then just turn it into a song. It's the other way around. You really thought you're playing with me, right? Like that time.
No,
like
this
that time
is,
you thought it was horses and gamblers.
Oh, and I got this from a reliable source, but he wants to remain anonymous. But it's a picture book, drawn by Bruce himself.
It's not drawn by Bruce himself. The lyrics are by Bruce. There was an artist who drew all those pictures of the little baby with the guns on it, and he was inspired by the song, and it worked for him. I think you left off a lot of books, a lot of songs based on books, and you left out a lot of songs based on the Bible. The Bible could have inspired like 10 songs.
Well, I tried to fit in the most important ones, but I had to whittle it down to five.
All right. Well, let's do your five songs about Pennsylvania, and then we will do a quick round of Lurtle, and we will get out of here.
Okay. Yeah, these are five songs that Bruce refers to the state of Pennsylvania.
It's raining hard in Pittsburgh. Somebody needs a man of her own. Ricky need a man of her own. Is that on there?
No.
How is that not on there? Philadelphia, the streets of Philadelphia.
Okay, yes, that is on here. Do you want to hear the line? Do you
know the line? I thought I was guessing. Oh, the line from Philadelphia? It's every line. It's the streets of Philadelphia.
That is correct. Yeah, a good man is hard to find. Do you know the line?
Well, you did have it on your list.
It is, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But you said
it's raining. It's raining out in Pittsburgh.
It's cloudy out in Pittsburgh.
Well, I was there on a rainier day.
I'll give it to you.
Right.
Yeah, yep. We got three more.
Pennsylvania. Hershey. Oh no, that's a fish song. Pennsylvania. There's gotta be a factory that closed down in Pennsylvania. Gotta be a closed down factory. They closed down the back in Mahwah. Is that in Pennsylvania?
No, but you're very close.
Always close.
Actually, you did get that. Yeah, you got it. It's one of the. It is Atlantic City.
Atlantic City's in New Jersey.
No, I know that. But in this song, he mentions Pennsylvania.
Oh,
okay. The line. You don't remember the line?
They're busting out in from out of state. In Pennsylvania. I'm not sure. No,
it's actually the opening line of the song. He says,
oh, in Philly last night, right? The chicken man. They blew up the chicken man. That ended up being, nobody made the connection between Atlantic City and Breaking Bad when Gus Fring blew up, but he was the chicken man and they blew him up on that show. And I always thought that was a tribute to Springsteen, but I've never heard it from any of the writers or producers or anything like that. I mean, the Mexican cartel called him the Chicken Man the whole time he was on that show, and then they blew him up. But I've never heard anything about anyone on the writer staff being a Springsteen fan or that being connected with Springsteen. Are there more? Did we get them all?
I think there's one more. No, two more, I think. Two more.
That'd be something about Philly.
Highway patrolman,
Michigan County. Does Philly border Canada? I mean, does Pennsylvania border Canada? What? I don't know what part of that song is Pennsylvania.
All right. Well, I'll give you the line.
Ohio border. Didn't he join the Ohio state? Ohio patrolman or something like that. I don't know.
That's possible. So the line is taking turns dancing with Maria as the band played night.
Johnstown Flood.
So those who don't know, I'm sure everyone does, but Johnstown is a town in Pennsylvania. And it's actually 57 miles from Pittsburgh. And the song, the town is actually famous because of a flood, Johnstown Flood, which was a dam bursting in 1889, and it killed thousands of people. So, and Bruce mentioned
somebody wrote a song about it called "Night of the Johnstown Flood."
Yeah, so that is.
You know what song you missed? I think it's not. I mean, you missed it, Allentown.
That's by Billy Joel.
Oh.
All right. And I think he sung that with Bruce, didn't he?
I don't have any idea. Maybe. I don't have a video of it.
We'll have to get our floor fucker to check that.
Did I tell you? I think I did do a whole rant that he's got another sign for tomorrow night in Columbus. He's flying to Columbus with another bed sheet. And this one's got a whole fucking paragraph on it with multiple colors. He used a stencil. I think he was embarrassed about how shitty the last sign looked. He used a stencil and it's got like three song or four song choices. And it's supposed to say, "Let Steve pick," but he fucked it up. So it says, "Let Steve pock."
Oh no.
P-O-C-K. It's a mess. And I'm embarrassed that he's part of this show. Are there any more books before I go on to Hurdle?
We're not on books. This is a that was the last one.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, there's one more song. It's called The River.
the river.
Mm-hmm.
Down to the river. Oh, something about the company. The company that shut down. There ain't been much work on account of the Pennsylvania economy.
Man, he really fucked that up. He says, I got a job working construction for the Johnstown company.
Oh, we're still in Johnstown. Why don't you do Tom's top 20 mentions of Johnstown? All right, let's play a few rounds of Lurtle, the lyric game, because those stump you the most. And and then we will get these people off to their favorite podcast about books. All right, Tom, last week was kind of rough.
Yeah.
We're going to give you another chance here. Let's see. Waist deep in the water, how bright the sun shone.
Sounds familiar.
Waist deep in the water, how bright the sun shone.
Is that on Tunnel of Love?
Yes.
Spare Parts?
Yes, it is Spare Parts. That isn't a Moses reference. It is about a woman who murdered her baby. I didn't ever notice that before.
Yeah.
I thought the woman who put her baby in the river and let the river roll on was supposed to be Moses' mother, and she was like sending the baby off to a better place, like to be adopted, like Moses was adopted. I never realized that Janie heard about a woman who would drown her baby and thought, there's a good idea.
Yeah, you know how these things do happen.
I mean, I knew it was a dark song, but it takes on a whole new meaning. Let's see. As soon as you got something, they send someone to try to take it away.
Something in the night.
Something in the night. I told you some of these would be easy, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm doing better than last week.
All right. Here's your Saturday night special, baby. Is he good to you? Does he have money, honey, like I do?
Is this on tracks?
I think so. No, it's not on tracks.
It's not the way, is it?
It's not the way.
All right. Give me a moment. Give me a little more.
Let's see. Come on and stretch out, baby, and call your daddy home. I'm running tonight. I won't be long. I got something special, baby, just meant for you.
Yeah, this is on, I believe, The Promise.
It is on The Promise. Did you notice last week where I put in the triple clock? The triple
yes.
clock arm?
That yes.
Because the clip I cut out was so long.
Oh, I know. Let me get back. Well, just tell me that again, and I should be able to get it.
Not an easy one. All right. I'm going to give you the opening line. Maybe it's a giveaway. You ready?
Mm. Huh?
Hey, little girl, is your daddy home? Did he go away and leave you all alone?
This is a different song.
It's the same song.
No, is it?
Yeah.
That's not on The Promise. That's I'm on Fire.
We're not talking about I'm on Fire. We're talking about this song. Hey, little girl, is your daddy home? Did he go away and leave you all alone?
Well, that's I'm on Fire.
No, it's not. I'm on Fire. Pretty sure. Without looking it up, goes, hey, little girl, is your daddy home? Did he go and leave you all alone? This is, hey, little girl, is your daddy home? Did he go away and leave you all alone? Baby, I've been watching you for a long, long time. Come close. We could have us some fun. And after the burning is done, our ruins will shine through the night. Where you took me with your...
Spanish eyes.
With your Spanish eyes. Very, almost very that's good. Funny.
That's strange that he used that same lyric.
You I mean, it doesn't all make it onto tracks and or unreleased songs, but many have. Bruce has recycled lyrics throughout his. You find the lyrics from Jersey Girl that he added to Tom Waits' song come from an old song that's on Tracks, or it's on Tracks, right? Doesn't he have a song on Tracks about taking your kids and dropping them off at your taking your brats and dropping them off at your mom's? Isn't that on a song in Tracks?
Yeah, you're right.
He goes through, he's like writing a new song. He goes through all the songs he's written that hasn't done anything with. And he goes, oh yeah, there's one that's good. And then one of the older versions end up on another song. It's just the way he's always done it.
Yeah, the song on Tracks, Mary Lou, is the same as Be True.
Be True, right. And it isn't, wow, that might be what I'm thinking of. But yeah, there's a lot of instances where two songs have similar. The Highway Is Alive Tonight. That's in like three songs, I think.
Yeah.
Highway Is Alive a lot. Most famously in The Ghost of Tom Joad. But there are other. Is it Meet Me in the City Tonight have The Highway Is Alive Tonight in it?
I think so. I feel another list coming on.
My favorite song is that where the highway is alive. Highway is alive tonight, so baby don't I'm sure somebody. Oh, that's the Seaside Bar song. The highway is alive in tonight in Seaside Bar song. So that was before Ghost of Tom Joad. Anyway, but it came out after Ghost of Tom Joad. All right. I got a couple more for you, and we will send these people off to their favorite murder podcast. All right. Oh, this is too easy. Yeah, that's too easy. Forget that one. All right. How about this? Oh, come on. Too easy. Pointless. When it's that easy, it's pointless. She's so pretty that you're lost in the stars.
Night.
Yeah, I picked some easy ones today. A lot of them. This is easy. And now young faces grow sad and old. Softballs. These are all softballs, man. Now young faces grow sad and old.
Hearts of fire grow cold.
That is right. That's almost that's good. Almost good enough.
I just got to come up with the name now.
All you got to do is come up with the name.
Can I have some more?
Are you? Come on. We swore blood brothers against the wind.
No surrender.
No surrender. Oh, let's see. Well, that's not even a Bruce song. That's Buddy Holly. In dreams these nights, I see you, my friend, the way you looked back then.
Ah, None But the Brave. What a great song.
All right. I'll give you credit on that one. I'm not going to give you credit on like half those earlier ones, but I'll give you credit on None But the Brave. Let's see. This should be hard, right? You said heroes are needed, so heroes get made. Somebody made a bet. Somebody paid.
Oh man, yeah, that's a good one. Not The Wall, is it?
No. A House on a Quiet Street, A Home for the Brave, The Glorious Kingdom of the Sun on Your Face, Rising from a Long Night as Dark as the Grave, On a Thin Chain of Next Moments, and Something Like Faith.
Devil's Arcade.
It is Devil's Arcade. You're really doing smoking job tonight. Wizard Imps and Sweat Sock Pimps.
Does this bus?
Imps. Yes, it is. Bus. Does this bus stop at 82nd Street? You are batting 1,000. Let's see. We're Making Night Tracks Through the Blazing Rain, Blowing Pistons.
Don't Look Back.
Don't Look Back. You're killing it. One more. I've only got one more for you. And this should actually be an easy one. There ain't a man in this whole town that say who would say you ain't fine. This wasn't a giveaway song. That was a giveaway line.
Cynthia?
It is Cynthia. Excellent job. I couldn't stump you today if I tried. Really excellent. Usually, I'd ask you here, is there anything you wanted to add today before we sign off? Because I got a little something I want to add.
No, just we got one more show until he goes somewhere. We have not gotten an explanation as to why Patty is missing. And who knows what's going on with that.
And, that is right. I nearly forgot that tomorrow night, we're recording this Saturday morning. Tomorrow night is the final U.S. show. It's in Columbus, Ohio. And my sister bought two tickets this week. Her and her new boyfriend, they are going to drive down to Columbus from Detroit. And she got front row of the second level, about halfway back. I think they're pretty good seats. And, man, tickets for that one have just remained super expensive. And she got them for a reasonable deal. The two seats next to her are still available for about twice what she paid on StubHub or on Ticketmaster resale. So look for my sister in Columbus. And that is the final show of the U.S. tour. And look for GW. I guess we didn't forget. We did mention that GW is flying to this show with his ridiculous sign. And I'm sure somewhere earlier in the show, I put a picture of it up. He sent me a picture. I'll make sure that got up on the screen. I wanted today, before we say goodbye, I wanted to give a shout out to our friend Maddie, who was here when we conceived of this show. He's going through a rough patch right now. His mother's very sick, and she doesn't have a lot of time left. And, you know, Maddie, already a very emotional and sensitive guy. He's having a lot of trouble. So I wanted to shout out to Maddie and remind him that we're out here for you. If you need anything, I hope you get a chance to see this. And on that note, for GW and his sign, and for Maddie and Tom, I am Fisherman, the bootlegger who pays the highest price, and the world's greatest Springsteen podcast loves you.